We're going. All right. Welcome to the pilot episode of Working Title Nobody's Deathmatch, hosted by yours truly, Eric Daniel Cuvalier.
And in a slightly smaller respect, hosted
Steve Galbraith. Middle name? Hoobastink. Let's talk about the purpose of this podcast. The premise of the podcast is that we're talking about movies that Steve and I may have seen as a child, as a youth, as a minor, and re-watching them and discussing the merits. Does it stand up? Does it carry over across the through the annals of time? Some are going to be, there's going to be disagreement. There's also going to be, you know, mutual respect on this podcast. The first movie in question that we're talking about today is Shawshank Redemption, a beloved movie by many, but not by me. give like the DVD, the back of the DVD summary of Shawshank Redemption, Steve.
I'm Steve. Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me on. Do you want me to go get the DVD cover? And
no, I just
it?
Want you to... Do you not remember that movie? Do you remember the movie Shawshank Redemption?
Vaguely.
Let me... All right, here I go.
It's underwater. They're all seas.
You're thinking of Underworld. You're thinking of Waterworld. Is there a movie called Underworld?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, is that the one that's kind of goth?
Yep.
It's like The Crow, but newer?
No. The Crow is bad. Should that be another episode? A different
episode? We'll definitely do that. Shawshank Redemption. Here's the DVD back cover of Shawshank Redemption. Tim Robbins.
No.
Andy Dufresne. Thank you.
In parentheses, Tim Robbins.
Is a man in the wrong place at the wrong time. What's Morgan? Oh, Red, parentheses, Morgan Freeman, his sidekick, who is Irish but not. Yeah. Whatever.
That's the joke.
Yeah, it's the only joke in the movie.
First complaint.
And this is still the DVD back cover. Everything that we've been saying is on the DVD yeah. back cover. Andy Dufresne's finds that his wife and her lover have been murdered in cold blood. He finds that he is falsely accused
yes,
of the crime.
That is the thing he finds.
And he is tried. He is tried in a court of law by. Oh yeah, this is the opening. This is the opening.
They make
scene.
Sure to mention that on the back.
We're
cover.
Still on the DVD back cover. This is the open. The DVD back cover is describing the opening scene of Shawshank Redemption, which is if you don't recall because you don't, I'll tell you what happens. Mm-hmm. Is that there's the prosecuting attorney, who is the most cliche caricature.
Oh my God.
Of prosecuting attorneys. In cinematic history, because Andy Dufresne, he'll, you know, his story is, oh, I found out that my wife had a lover and was cheating on me. I got angry. I got drunk. I got a gun. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out to where they're at. They're like their Evil Dead cabin in the woods that they're staying at. Mm-hmm. And
listens to the ink spots in the car.
Say what?
Listens to the ink spots in the car.
What are the ink spots?
The band that's playing that.
Oh. If I didn't care. Oh, yeah. You do remember something. Very good.
A little trivia. Yeah.
So he's listening to the ink spots in the car, and then he decides not to shoot her. He has a change of heart.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler.
But then he finds out that she died of murder, as did her lover.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's telling the prosecutor, like, I didn't do it. And then the prosecutor's like asking him, so you're telling me, Mr. Dufresne, mm-hmm. that you found out that Mrs. Dufresne was stepping out on you. that you got drunk, got a gun, clearly premeditated, but then you didn't shoot her. That's right, Your Honor, your attorney, Mr. Prosecutor. And then...
Isn't that convenient?
Isn't that convenient?
And then Andy Dufresne...
Yeah? What does he say?
He says, as a matter of fact, I find it decidedly inconvenient.
Very good.
Oh,
very
he plays it. He plays it so cool.
It's so goddamn cool. Stupid. So this is still the back of the DVD cover. Everything that I've said. It's a fold-out. It's like the back of a Madden magazine kind of thing where you put it together.
A John Madden magazine?
Yes. John Mapp. What? And then, okay, so then he goes to Shawshank Prison, where he meets Red and the other little rascals.
He's convicted. You skip the
he's
part
convicted.
Where he's convicted.
Okay, yes. In the court of law, he's convicted. It's an open, shut case. And I remember the judge, too, telling him how... He said something cliche, too. Like, oh, you send chills up my spine or something to that nature, that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
He's just misunderstood, though.
Andy Dufresne is just a skinny banker.
Yeah.
He doesn't have
tall drink of water.
Tall drink of water. Yeah, he's top choice prime meat when he gets into the prison. Everybody wants a piece of Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, Boggs.
You kind of look like Boggs. I just
sisters.
Now realized.
I don't fucking look like Boggs.
You kind of look like Boggs.
Boggs.
Listeners, Boggs. For those of you at home, please note that Eric looks like Boggs.
Okay. Well, so now that we're on Boggs, I want to talk about. So I rewatched this movie like a month ago, and I hadn't seen it in quite some time, and mainly because I had hated it so much the last time I saw it.
Yes.
But I watched it. So it came out in 94, and I remember... So a month ago was the first time I watched it, like, actually on the DVD. DVD, Steve. Like, you know. Mm-hmm. Not VHS. DVD.
Okay.
So it's my first time watching the movie all the way through. But... Back in 94, 95, all the way through, maybe 2000, when I'm watching Shawshank Redemption, I'm watching it on TV, like syndicated. Is that what you call that? When it's just like being replayed over and over again?
Sure, why not?
Thanks. And it's on TNT, and they play it all the time. All the time. But it's one of those movies, too, where I first liked it. And then if I saw it on, like I would just, you know, if I saw like... I switched the channel and then there's Andy Dufresne like crawling out of a pipe full of shit or something in the rain. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, Shawshank Redemption's on. Oh, I guess I'll watch this heroic story.
Begrudgingly.
And well, no, I liked it initially, but then I think watching it that often and in different cut up segments and then always bookmarked by like the commercials of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, what commercials were on back in 96? You remember?
The Budweiser frogs.
Budweiser frogs were definitely back then. Crossfire, you remember that? You remember Crossfire?
I think that might be a little...
No, I think it was... I think I'm right.
You are louder, so you're probably correct.
So those commercials were on. And so when I was watching it like a month ago or so, like the two scenes that had stood out to me that had like imprinted themselves on my young...
Supple
adolescent brain. You knew where I was going.
Yeah.
Okay, well, obviously Boggs. When Boggs and the sisters, they call themselves the sisters. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Is that ringing a bell?
Thanks.
Boggs and the sisters trap Andy in the laundry room and then just give it to him.
They certainly do. They certainly do, Eric.
Without any sense of decency... Without a kiss. They gave it to him.
We actually don't know if there was a kiss or not.
There may have been. So that scene like imprinted itself on my brain, just being like, wow, prisons are terrible.
Yeah.
The sisters will rape you upon entry.
Right.
And then the other scene, well, obviously, like Andy's heroic but disgusting escape, where he crawled, like, fucking idiot Andy. He fucking, I don't want to jump ahead. But I am.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy's granted. This is still on the DVD back cover. spoiler alert: Andy escapes the prison. Oh, who could have guessed that? In a movie about hope and truth and redemption. Yeah, fucking redemption's in the name. Of course the guy's gonna escape and like get away scot-free. So we'll get to the warden later, but jumping ahead, there's a evil warden. I don't remember what his name is, but he's a bad dude. And he's kind of got Andy under his thumb for a while, wouldn't you say?
I would say that.
But then Andy gets the upper hand, and he's been using this rock hammer to, like, you know, make a hole in the wall behind his poster.
Uh-huh.
That's like everybody remembers that, the whole dumb poster thing. Like, really, nobody knew? Kind of dumb. Kind of dumb. All
right.
So he crawls out of the hole. He's stolen the warden's suit. He puts it on before crawling through the hole and before jumping into a plumbing or a pipe that has human waste in it.
Uh-huh.
And then he crawls out, escapes from the pipe, and then like holds his hands, you know, and a mighty roar, like above his head, like in the pouring rain. It's very dramatic, and everybody remembers that scene. But why did he put the suit on before he crawls through the shit pipe? Like, then it doesn't make any sense. He's gonna change back into his prison garb. Yeah, you got nothing. That's right. Goes to.
I remember it a little differently. I remember him taking a sort of plastic bag and tying it around his ankle and putting the finer clothing he's going to have in that bag to protect it from said shit pipe.
You would think that.
I don't remember him putting on the suit before he goes through the pipe.
So he walks from the warden's office, and he's wearing the warden's shoes. I like that. He's polishing the warden's shoes as the warden's leaving, and the warden's like, you're mine, bitch.
Yeah.
And then he switches out the shoes and leaves his dirty old shoes in there. And he's walking back, and nobody notices, and it's great. But then he changes into the, like, he, I think he either changes into the suit or he takes off his, like, his prison onesie, and he's wearing the suit when he,
steal it.
No, this is like when he's in his cell, he's like undressing and he's like getting ready to go.
To put it in
and
the
bag.
Right,
you're fucking you're right that he has a plastic bag that he ties with like his
what else would
his
he put
priceless
in there?
Items. He puts his dumb chess pieces in there.
And the
you're
suit.
Gonna bring your dumb chess pieces that you like carved while you're in prison, like you're at summer camp or something? I would not want to bring the chess pieces. I would want to leave them there. It's like, it's obviously gonna, like, how is he not, is he gonna continue playing chess with these pieces, like, once he's on the outside and like think fondly back on his days of being sodomized by the sisters?
I don't think you can fully appreciate the fact that Andy Dufresne was incarcerated wrongly for decades. You can't get in the headspace of such a man. And also, I want to mention that it seems like, I'd say 80% of your argument against this movie is the fact that you got burnt out on it on fucking TBS or whatever.
80%?
Yeah. That and Shit Suit. Those are your arguments.
No, I got more stuff coming down there. I got notes.
You
got notes, my friend.
No.
I think by watching it so often and in segments and begrudgingly on TNT, because nothing else was on, I think it gives me a unique perspective of which to critique Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm. One that doesn't have you critiquing the actual film, but just your perception of
exactly.
The film.
We've found a place of agreement.
Yes. And that's our show.
We're still... I'm not done here.
Okay. No, once we agreed, we should end it.
Let me look at my notes real quick.
Yeah, please do. In the meantime, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Who are our sponsors again, Steve?
Oh, actually, we don't have any yet. If you'd like to become our sponsor, please email. Actually, we share an email
address. Oh, God, there's so much more to talk about. There's the crime scene. The crime that was committed was making Shawshank Redemption. You see what I did there? The greatest crime is not the murder of Andy Dufresne's wife and lover. Mm-hmm. It is the making of the movie.
I don't think they're putting forth that that's the greatest crime, the murder. It's the greatest crime is that he was
very
incarcerated.
Very self-referential crime.
Wrongly incarcerated.
You're right. That's a great, that's the big.
Get your shit together.
You want to talk about Warden?
Yeah.
Norton was his name.
Thank you. I already knew that.
What do you remember about Warden Norton?
What do I remember
about
him?
What do you remember
him?
About?
You want a eulogy?
Mm-hmm.
No, he was awful. What do you want to know about him? What is your critique of the character known as Warden Norton?
I'll tell you what I liked about the Warden is that your first introduction to the Warden is like he's meeting the new prisoners, you know, the new guys who are walking in, Andy and the rest of the gang or whatever. Uh-huh. And he gets in front of him and he tells him like, he's going to tell him like the rules of Shawshank Redemption. Like, the rules of shouldn't the prison be named Shawshank Redemption Prison?
The rules of being in the movie.
The rules of being in this movie. He says, rule number one, no blasphemy. The other rules you'll learn as you go along. Isn't that a horrible introduction? That's not going to teach them anything.
Right.
Like maybe they should have told Andy, hey,
watch your cornhole.
Tip number one for Andy, watch your cornhole. Warden Norton. But I like that. I like that it establishes him as like the worst. He's a bad dude. You're already against him from the onset.
Yeah. Well, just one of many very strong characters in the film Shawshank Redemption.
When was the last time you watched Shawshank Redemption? Maybe you're overdue for it.
Does it seem like it? Does it seem like I'm lacking in knowledge at all?
No, I mean you remember you. Well, I told you Warden Norton's name, but you claimed I've already known it.
Yeah.
Pretty convenient.
I find it especially inconvenient. Last time I watched it was probably 4 months ago.
Okay, that's pretty good, actually.
Perhaps. listeners, while Eric is trying to figure out something to say, I can see from here at the top of his notes, written in red, is the year 1994. So he wanted to know when this film came out, and he wanted to mention
that. I think it's important to know. It's important to recognize that although it seems to have taken place during 1940s, actually filmed in 1994.
Anachronistic.
Why it couldn't have been a prison in the 1990s?
Yeah.
Makes no sense. Everybody is like old in this movie. Everybody should be dead by the time this movie's coming out. That makes no sense. Major plot hole. Here's another argument I have to make. And it has to do with Brooks. You remember Brooks? Let's test your... You don't remember Brooks.
Who's Brooks?
Brooks is the old man.
I know.
Oh.
Come on. Thought you
had me. Do you remember who Jake is?
Yeah, I remember all of them.
Who's Jake?
The bird.
Oh, okay, fine.
God damn it.
I gotta...
really giving the listeners their money's worth. Two people asking each other if they remember things.
So Brooks.
Do you remember the prison?
So Brooks has this bird that's a crow, right?
Yes, it is a crow.
Or a raven, who knows? It's a blackbird named Jake.
Yeah.
That you meet Jake. He's like still a baby bird and he's in like Brooks' pocket and Brooks is feeding him and, you know, nursing him back to health or whatever.
So true.
So, and then here's something too that I didn't get like until I watched this movie all the way through on DVD. Because again, up until then, only watched in segments on TVD. TVD. So back then in 1996 when I'm watching this movie on the TV,
which was 2 years after
after it was released, I am of the understanding like, okay, so the movie lasts for 2 hours approximately. Nobody ages in the movie. Like nobody's hair is going gray, nobody's losing their teeth, nobody's like, you know, whatever, dying of natural causes, really. Everybody's whatever. My understanding back then was that this, like, the Andy is in prison for like, I don't know, 6 months or something. It's like a little sleepaway camp for him. just there hanging out with some buddies.
Yeah.
Because after the sisters are gone, like, he's told, like, it's a fucking cream dream. It's a cream dream for Andy after the sisters are gone. He, like, is running the library and gets all these great books. They have, you know, some good records, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But no, he's in prison for 20 years. And let me finish. May I finish?
You may.
Thank you. So back to the crow. I didn't forget about Jake. So yeah, you meet Jake. He's a little baby bird. Mm-hmm. And then like half an hour into the movie, he's a large bird. And you're like, oh, passage of time. That's the only indication of passage of time in this movie, other than people saying, oh, Andy's been in here for a while. Is Andy ever going to get out? Oh, poor Andy. No. Yeah. The only indicator is Jake turning into an adult bird.
Mm-hmm.
And then, wait, what was I saying about Brooks?
Am I still letting you finish?
No, I'm finished.
Yeah, you're finished, all right.
I finished strong. That was my closing argument.
I mean, there's so many other representations of the passage of time. I don't even know where to begin, really.
Tell me.
Well, you see here.
And nothing trite, okay?
There are small things like the hair definitely does gray. Red and Andy both, if you look at their hair to start and to end.
Under a microscope.
Yeah, and Andy gets glasses that look more old man-ish as time goes on. He wears like old man sweaters a little later.
So they basically are employing like the strategies of like a one-act play for making the passage of time apparent.
Well, there's also another.
Why didn't
one.
They Benjamin Button everybody?
Did
they not have the technology for special effects of the makeup sort in 1993? I'll answer you that they did. They did. Makeup has been around for a while.
Maybe it's just how much I like the movie and I'm biased, but. I think they did a fabulous job with the passage of time.
So it's a maybe it's a suspension of disbelief.
Because when Brooks gets out,
he's old when you meet him. Like he's an old fucker.
Right. When Brooks gets out, it shows the town. It shows like some cars. It shows the grocery that they work at.
Yeah.
And you see everyone's style, like the smock that the guy is wearing and the people shopping, they're dressed a certain way, and the technology of the check stands and all the whole spiel. But then when Red gets out later, it's different. I mean, it's a different it's a different manager who's at the same grocery store. The cars
maybe the manager just got fired. Maybe it's only been a month.
Well, everything just looks different. I mean, the woman that's keeping the little halfway house or whatever, it's a different woman who's younger, who presumably took over after the older woman.
Can we talk about Brooke's death?
We can talk about anything you want.
Awesome.
I'm prepared for.
So I didn't tell. I didn't say this earlier, but I watched this movie with Sandy, who is both the worst person and best person to watch movies with.
Listeners, Sandy, for the record, is Eric's girlfriend. Insert sound effect.
What would be the sound effect?
I'm not even sure.
Wonga longa dong.
Swing.
Swing. So she gets very engaged with movies. Like she can, she liked Shawshank Redemption and was able to like definitely develop empathy very quickly for every character on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, let me turn to my page for the Brooks death. So as I was watching this movie with Sandy, I was also taking notes as far as like what she was saying, because she'll watch with like kind of two lobes of her brain that are very active. One lobe is like focused on social theory or like critiquing society, which is horrible to listen to while you're watching a movie sometimes. So like, for instance, she was like saying like, towards the end of the movie, I think Red's talking or something, and then she just blurts out, I'm really glad race wasn't in this movie. Race had nothing to do with this movie. That was her observation. Uh-huh. So that's one lobe of her brain that's going as she's commenting on movies.
It's a good lobe.
And then the other lobe was just kind of like quick, like just like no filter, kind of just like, oh, this movie is like emotionally charging me up and stuff. So I'm going to, yeah. I'm going to like just say things as they come to my brain.
Yeah.
So when Brooks is preparing to kill himself, I printed out the quote. Maybe, would you like to read the quote?
Oh my God, he has a printout of quotes.
Do you want to read? Well, I was planning on reading Brooks' quote, but if you want to read it, you can.
Something about no one will kick up a fuss, not for an old crook like me.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Do you want me to read it just right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start with the part that I underlined, because this is the part that I thought was hack.
Oh.
And I'll read it in Brooks' voice.
Please do.
Okay. So he's this is the letter that he writes. Like, there's a voiceover of him reading the letter as he's like preparing his suicide. How about this? I'll read the letter and then you can voice over the last line as if you're Andy Dufresne. How about that? Okay.
Great.
I'm gonna skip halfway into the letter because who cares? Sometimes after work I go to the park.
Not even close. Not even.
There we go. I'm closer now.
No.
Sometimes after work, I go to the park and feed the birds.
That's a hack old man voice.
Sometimes I
loosen up your loose. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Oh, like Adventure Time. Yeah. Sometimes after work, I go to the park and feed the birds. Is that better?
It's better.
It's as good as it's going to be. You better live with it. I keep thinking Jake might just show up and say hello. But he never does. I hope wherever he is, he's doing okay and making new friends. I have trouble sleeping that night. I have bad dreams like I'm falling. I wake up scared. Sometimes it takes me a while to remember where I am. Maybe I should get me a gun and rob the food waste so they'd send me home. Etc., etc. And then...
Shoot the manager.
And then I'm... Very good, Steve. Wow. It's like you've watched this movie 4 months ago. I guess I'm too old for that sort of nonsense anymore. I don't like it here.
God, you're really, really butchering
I'm
this.
Tired of being afraid all the time. I've decided not to stay. To which Sandy says, where's he going? Back to the letter. I doubt they'll cook up any fuss. Not for an old crook like me. And then she says, okay, so this is all like in the course of like 10 seconds or something. So she's, you know, he says, I've decided not to stay. She says, where's he going? And then at the same time this is happening, like you're seeing that he's like standing up on a chair and like starting to write like Brooks was here on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, is he going to kill himself? And then she sees like, oh no, he's writing his name on the wall. And she's like, oh, he's just writing his name on the wall. And then she sees him putting the noose over the railing. He's like, oh, he's going to kill himself. No. That was awesome.
Yeah.
She went from like, he's going to live to he's going to die. And then he died. Closed chapter on Brooks.
Yeah. Well,
Brooks' letter is hack.
You still have to point out where and how.
It's kind of something you feel.
Well, I'll tell you what I feel. That you're wrong.
No.
Because Brooks, dumb. You can't expect Brooks to speak in an elevated, eloquent way. I mean, he was a simple man. He's been in that prison like almost his whole life, you know?
So you're saying
he's
that
he's not educated. He has simple feelings. He's an older man. He has simple feelings and he expresses them in a simple way.
So you're saying that the script writer of this script, and P.S., you're aware that this is, I'm sure, audience, are you aware that this is based on a Stephen King novella named Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption?
I appreciate you directing that to the audience.
From different seasons?
Keep going.
One of three stories.
Four, there's four
seasons. Of the four that went on. One of three of the four that went on to become movies. Can you name the other two? Steve! No, you can't.
Pupil.
Okay, you got that. Okay. What else is in that book?
What else is in different seasons? Oh, no. Not The Green Mile.
Nope.
Stand By Me.
All right, you got it.
By a different title. I think it was
The Body, I think.
The Body. Thank you. We work together on that.
Hey.
We're pals.
All right, so tell me about Bruce. Okay, so you're saying that the writer of the script was going, like, you're explaining his bad writing as he's trying to get into the voice of an uneducated old man
who's been in prison all his life. Someone like that is not going to probably,
I'm not asking for Shakespeare with Brooks.
Probably not going to be like super poetic or super deep or whatever. He's a simple man. So he's going to say, I wake up and I'm scared or whatever. It's not going to be like, the shadows come.
Was that Nick Cave? Who was that? Or Leonard Cohen? That was some nice bass. I also have quotes by Red that I'm going to be reading later. Because Red, more so than Brooks, has some of the most hackney lines ever.
Hmm.
I've got Red's last lines of the movie. I'm going to read those at the very end.
Don't you dare touch those.
And then I've also got... do you want to talk about the scene where...
I want to talk about anything that you want to talk about. Because I realize you're at a disadvantage here. So I'm trying to level the playing field.
Thank you. Can we pause so I can get another beer? Let's pause.
Why don't you just go get the beer and I'll just talk to the listeners here.
Advertisement.
Actually, I have to fold my laundry, so we'll be right back.
Yay! Oh God, it wasn't recording the whole time.
You having fun here? Raise your hand if you're having fun. Are we recording now?
We never stopped.
Oh, good. Super. Great.
The one is a computer.
What kind of sponsors should we be getting for this show?
Obviously,
Crossfire. We've already talked about that board game.
Yeah, right. Maybe like some kind of anti-depression medication.
Yeah.
Because anyone who would be listening to this would be super depressed.
I think the corn dog holes from Eureka Burger.
Corn dog holes?
Yeah. They're called corn dog holes.
I think you're mixing up the cornhole from earlier.
No.
And the lollipop corn
dog. I read the menu closely.
Yeah.
Why is it called a cornhole?
Yeah.
I think...
Is it why
I thought
I think
it was because it is? Isn't there some weird like Little House on the Prairie time? We're talking like 1800s or something like that, where they used old corn cobs as toilet paper, thus
old
wiping.
Corn cobs?
Yes, they used
probably the husk.
No,
they would
the
not
corn
use
cobs.
The whole cob.
The old cobs. So after little. Give me one name of Little House on the Prairie. What's her name?
Bessie. Brett?
Bessie? That's not her fucking name. Just give
I've
me a name.
I've
literally
never seen that show.
Little Tina or something like that. So she gets
Tina
done.
Tina doesn't sound more like a prairie name than Bessie. Come on. Callista.
Callista Flockhart on Little House on the Prairie. Maybe she'd like finish her corn and then they'd be like, Callista, don't. Callista, don't throw that corn in the... Don't you dare throw that corn to the hogs. We need that corn for our cornholes.
Yeah.
Huh? Origin of cornhole.
Case
You're
closed.
Welcome. All right, and we're back. Talking about... Shawshit Redemption. Huh? Wrote
it
down.
Is.
I used it. Thank you. Also, I noticed that... on my notes after Shawshank, like the title Shawshank Redemption, I wrote kind of a subtitle of Caged Birds and Other Metaphors About Hope. Because goddamn it, this movie, every fucking other line is about hope and birds. Jake the Bird flying out. Hope. Hope, 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 hope.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Freeman, the biggest bastard in this movie. So much hope talk.
It's a message.
Would you like to hear a quote from Red right now? I can actually conjure Morgan Freeman's voice through my body.
Please. I think hope is a message worth repeating many times. One of the most important messages that you could possibly...
All right.
All right.
Are you done talking about hope?
Yeah, I'm done.
What do you hope for, Steve?
I hope that your Morgan Freeman impression is as good as I think it is. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams.
Setting the stage, this is the scene where... So Andy's been, Andy's little pet project while he's been in prison for apparently 20 years, when really it's been like 20 minutes, is he's trying to get more books for the library and like writing the government. He's writing somebody for these books. I don't know. And he's saying, hey, give us prisoners some more books. Like, even though we're criminals, some of us, not me, I'm Andy Dufresne, I'm pretty boy clean.
Yeah.
We still have the right to read books. Whatever. Jerk off motion, double handed jerk off motion.
Is that two different dicks?
Exactly.
Or is that two hands two on different, one dick?
That's the sisters. The sisters are just in a circle jerk for my, and my eyes are rolling.
Yeah. In pleasure.
So he finally, after many years, he finally
Jesus Christ.
He gets these books delivered. Okay, he's all happy, and the guard... Actually, there's a nice guard. It's not Guard Hadley. It's some other guard who's like actually nice to him. He's like, way to go, Andy, and gives him a... And he says, I got to go pinch a loaf.
Yep.
You remember?
Oh, I remember.
Hey, you remember?
I do.
Remember when that guard pinches a loaf?
I do.
What happens next?
Andy locks him in the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Because he wants to play some music over the loudspeaker.
Exactly. Thank you for setting the scene with me, Steve.
You're welcome.
And do you remember what... you don't remember.
I've remembered every single thing you've asked me to, yet you don't think I remember this next thing, whatever it is.
Well, no, I mean, you don't remember. To be more precise, you don't know the answer because I don't know the answer. I was going to ask you, and what record does he play? But it's like
Italian opera.
Italian opera. All right, fine. You do know the fucking answer.
It's
all right,
two,
good job.
Two women singing with
yes,
each other.
All right, great. And then Red. Oh, yeah, and that's all dramatic. And like I remember liking it as a kid, and it was great. And Red's voiceover narrative about hope. Here we go. Eric Cuvelier as Morgan Freeman as Red. In Shawshank Redemption. I have no idea. Is he kind of Southern? Do you want me to go Southern? I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. I think this is perfect. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best... left unsaid. I'd like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words, and it makes your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in the gray place dares to dream. Ugh. It was like some beautiful bird, flapped into our drab little cage and made those walls dissolve away. And for the briefest of moments, every last man in Shawshank felt free.
Can I critique your impression first before we get into the actual content?
Critique the flawless nature of it by all means.
Because I feel
the
like
the floor
you,
is yours.
You got into Dave Attell territory. You know when Dave Attell does the old man impersonation?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of that towards the middle.
Was there a touch of any Morgan Freeman in there?
No. Yeah, and at the end, you got really gritty and really Western. It was nice.
Anyways, lots of birds, lots of hope. Blah.
So, if a movie or a book or a song uses something symbolically once, You think it, from then on it's off the table. You can't repeat it. You can't have a running theme.
It became blatant and criminal. Wow. In Shawshank Redemption. How many bird metaphors and hope speeches of Morgan Freeman there were?
Mm-hmm. I think there were three.
I think I got another hope one, too. Wait, is it, let me just... You say something while I look at this real quick.
I'm too furious to speak.
This is my second of three Morgan Freeman impressions for this podcast.
Is it a different kind of Morgan Freeman?
Well, this is Morgan... This is Red's redemption. This is Red at the end of Shawshank Redemption. He has escaped from Shawshank Redemption prison. And
by your own rules, you should only use one joke about
that. Okay, he hasn't actually... By my own... Say it.
By your own rules...
Finish it!
You should only use that you should only use that joke once per podcast.
Shawshank Redemption prison?
Yeah.
It's done. It's off the table now. I'm not going to say it again now.
You use it about three times, and it's great.
So
you know, want to know why it's great? Because you can use the same thing multiple times in one body of work.
Why don't they just have Andy Dufresne turn into a bird at the end of this movie and fly over the prison wall? I think that would be better.
In my dreams, he does.
He hoped so hard that he sprouted wings and flew over that goddamn 20-foot wall.
Read your quote.
I find I'm so... No, fuck, I lost it. I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a free man can feel. A free man at the start of a long journey whose conclusion is uncertain. Count the hopes with me, Steve. I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams. I hope. How many hopes were there, Steve?
Yeah.
Can we get a count?
They're repeated for effect.
There were four hopes. They're repeated for effect. All right, fine. Whatever.
You should study poetry.
You like hope, apparently. All right.
All right.
I'm gonna jet through my last bit of notes, and then I'm going to get to the trivia section.
Are you going to quiz me?
No, I just have some interesting trivia that I researched.
Oh, okay.
That I think you'll enjoy, because you don't know about it.
Right, because I haven't known about anything.
You haven't
so
known
far.
About it. You've only passed with flying colors. Okay, so back to this is my last little bit of Sandy comments. Uh-huh. I probably took more notes of what she was saying than what I actually took of the movie, but this is my last note that I'll share. This is early on in the movie when Andy is. So Red is the guy who you ask to get you something, like if you need something, right? Like a poster, right? Or a rock hammer, right?
Yeah.
So Andy goes to Red to try. He like asks for a rock hammer, and Red's all like, well, "What's a rock hammer? I'm just dude. I don't know what a rock hammer is."
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And Andy's like, "No, no, no. It's not what you think. It's like for chess or making rocks or some shit."
Yeah.
So anyway, Sandy says, once he gets the rock hammer, she's like, "Is something bad going to happen?" This is all in the span of like 10 seconds or something. This is how quickly the gears are turning. Is he going to have to kill someone with the rock hammer? Is he going to have to stick it up his butt? None of those things happen.
Oh.
He doesn't kill anybody, doesn't stick it up his butt, but she was worried. Here's another quote I like from the movie, from Guard Hadley. We didn't really talk about Hadley very much.
He's
a dick, right?
He's a dick.
He's like...
Great character.
He's like, Warden... What's the warden's name?
Norton.
Good, you're paying attention. He's like Warden Norton's like right-hand dick, yeah. Right?
Perfect casting. That man's face completely fits his character.
Yeah.
Hadley.
A real caricature. A real cliche of a guard.
That's not where I was going, but all right. What about Hadley? The quote is from Hadley?
You're going to look funny sucking...
Whoa.
Sucking my dick with no teeth?
You got it. Say it on the mic. You didn't say it close enough.
No, that's cool.
Okay, good quote.
Good quote.
Didn't really talk about Tommy Remember Tommy?
No, I don't.
Tommy is that fucking little, like, hot shit guy who comes in.
Yeah.
The gets hottest killed. Shit. Who cares about him?
His shit is so hot.
He, this is getting into the trivia section. This is, like, one of the more boring trivias that I didn't care about. His part was supposed to be given to Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp was being considered for his part. No! I take that back. It was Brad Pitt.
Huh.
Brad Pitt was going to be his part. Can you imagine how hot that shit would have been?
Magma.
Okay, let's do the last of Red's quotes. All right?
Sure.
It's another bird quote. Do you need, like, do you believe me that there's a lot of bird quotes in here and bird shit happening?
Bird shit, nice. Yeah, birds and hope are...
All right, I'll read the quote if you're going to demand it.
...are repeated throughout the movie.
This is what he says. This is what he says after Andy escapes. After Andy escapes like a bird because he hoped so hard. And he crawled so well through a shit pipe wearing a suit like a fucking idiot.
Not wearing a suit.
This is the last, just so you know, this is the last Morgan Freeman impression I'm doing on this podcast.
Is this,
I mean, unless
same?
Unless we watch, like, I don't know, Seven or something like that, maybe I'll do that. But. So this is Red, sad. Sad Red.
Sad Red.
Sometimes it makes me sad, though. Andy being gone, I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Jesus Christ, hit me over the head with your goddamn metaphor. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab. Sorry.
In.
There's a line break. Is that much more drab and empty that they're gone? I guess I just miss my friend. Sad Red, thank you.
I think that was my favorite of the three.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to into, unless there's anything else, Steve, that you would like to say, we're going to get to the trivia section, and it's going to be real quick. It's more just interesting things.
I think I can rest my case. I think I'm sitting.
You
pretty.
Feel so. You feel that you have
rightfully
protected
defended.
The sanctity of Shawshank Redemption, and that it rightfully should be the number one movie on IMDb. Is that what you're saying to me?
I don't know about the number one movie on IMDb thing.
Oh,
but I think it is a near flawless movie, and I think you dislike it just to be contrary.
Did you? You said near flawless. Are you able to find any flaws in the film?
I just said that so you wouldn't bother me.
All right. Trivia round.
Sound effects.
I was actually thinking that we could use... did you ever watch X-Men, the cartoon version? Like the Sith?
Yes.
I was thinking the theme song might be good when for a certain...
When I lean in.
Yeah?
When I'm leaning back and then I have to lean in and say a single word answer, I feel like I'm on a witness stand. You should try it.
You have been having to testify.
I'm going to lean back and you ask me a question. Okay. Eric Cuvelier, are you wrong about Shawshank Redemption?
You didn't let me that know. Feels good.
Yeah.
I like that. Ask me more questions like that in the future.
I will.
I'm going to ask you this trivia as a question.
Yeah, form them all as questions.
I'm going to form them all as questions. True or false? Oh, God. True or false, Steve?
How are you going to come up with the false ones?
I'm doing it right now. Yeah. True or false? This movie is Morgan Freeman's favorite movie of his own. True or false?
I'm actually not going to know any of these answers.
It's called guessing.
I'm going to say true.
And why are you saying that? Why would this be Morgan Freeman's favorite movie of his own, do you think?
I don't know, because it's a fucking awesome movie, I guess. And he seems to have good taste.
You were right. The answer is true.
Thanks.
However, there wasn't a date on the quote.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
So who, maybe, did he say it like in 1997? Like right after?
Right. Because we all know that the movie was made Because
we know it was made in, it came out in 94. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Don't get fooled by the period piece aspects of this movie. The men in the movie, they're playing like old man baseball in the yard, like with old mitts. Mm-hmm. They're all wearing like old clothes. It's filmed in 1993. That I'll tip my hat off to. Well done.
Yeah.
All right, so you got the first trivia question right.
Yeah.
You're one for one. Question two.
You should just list off the rest of them. You don't have to. It's going to be difficult to come up with the false ones.
How about this? Name two actors who you think may have been considered for the role of Andy Dufresne who turned it down because they had other projects going on at the same time.
I don't give a shit about this kind of stuff. You know, who cares? It was made the way it was made. The stars aligned.
Is that your answer? The stars aligned? What actor is that? Sounds foreign.
Who could I imagine in that role? That could be something
Morgan
else.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Guard Hadley? They're like, no, your face is too good. You got to get back in the guard clothes. Hadley. All right,
even around back then? So long ago. Sam.
Don't forget, Steve, this is 1993. There's plenty of actors around.
Sam Rockwell.
Oh. He was not considered for that role. Mm. He was probably, I don't know what he was doing in 93.
Probably being born in space.
Probably. Correct answer for Andy Dufresne's part, Tom Hanks. But what was he doing at the time? Why was he not willing? What movie was he
Cast
doing?
Castaway?
It's 2001, you fucking idiot. Fucking dummy.
The Green Mile.
Oh,
also,
God, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Fucking Forrest Gump. Fucking Box of Chocolates. Fucking
Big?
Stupid as a Stupid Does.
Oh, Big.
The other man that they considered for the part, who turned it down because he was committed to Waterworld.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And then later he was all bummed out because like Waterworld sucked and nobody saw it. And like he lost money on it and nobody wanted to like give him a movie anymore. And he was like, oh shit, I should have done Shawshank Redemption.
Local celebrity Kevin Costner.
What do you mean?
He lives around here.
Where are we? Nobody knows where we are. This is the internet.
Oh, right. Because
the internet is everywhere, Steve.
People are listening to this internationally. So what were you saying?
I'm closing up my trivia round right now.
Right.
A side note, other actors who were considered for the role of Andy Dufresne.
Tom Hanks was busy with Big.
Kevin Costner.
Local celebrity Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
He lives here?
Yeah,
have you actually seen him?
I actually saw him. He was wearing a flowing white linen t-shirt.
What?
What? About halfway open.
What is linen? So it wasn't a cotton t-shirt? It was like linen, like thinner?
Get off my back, man. Come on.
And were there buttons on it? Was it like...
With matching flowing white linen pants. You could see
he was wearing like a cult leader outfit.
Kind of, I guess.
Where was he?
He was at the Santa Barbara Rock Gym, who's one of our sponsors, actually. I was there climbing. I had you fooled for a second.
Wait, how long have we been doing this for? He was at the Rock Gym. He wasn't climbing though.
He brought his daughter there for like a birthday party or something. We should actually change this podcast into a celebrity gossip podcast.
Oh, no, it's a fluid topic. Are there any other celebrities you want to talk about seeing in Santa Barbara while we're on the topic?
I saw David Crosby. It's not a huge deal, but...
Did you pay to go see him at the Santa Barbara Bowl?
I saw him at the Santa Barbara Bowl, but you know what? It was at a Fleet Foxes concert, and he was there to watch it, and he walked behind me, and I think I brushed up against
his... Did I go to Fleet Foxes with you?
Long, wiry hair. No, that was my ex-girlfriend. Are you my ex-girlfriend?
I think so.
What?
Trivia!
Last trivia item.
What do you mean, last one?
You just said wrapping up. Scratch, 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 scratch.
Tom Cruise and Nicolas Cage were also considered for the role of Andy Dufresne.
Oh, Nicolas Cage? Caged bird?
Oh, I like Steve.
Love it.
Dude, they should have cast birds for all of the roles, too, while they're at it. I don't think they gave Jake enough lines. Mm-hmm. I think they should have given Jake all of Morgan Freeman's lines, and then I could have impersonated Jake.
Yeah.
Do you want to know who was considered for Red's part besides Morgan Freeman?
No.
True or false?
Jesus.
Was Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford, Paul Newman, and Robert Redford considered for the part? True or false, Steve? I just pulled these names out of my head.
Yeah, I saw how you were reading them off the page. Maybe you made up like half of them or something. Harrison Ford would really suck in that role.
You think so?
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, I thought, would suck.
He'd be like, get me off of this prison. Give me
my son. Paul Newman, I don't really remember him being in anything in the 90s.
Isn't he dead?
Is that bad? Yeah, no, he is dead, but I don't really remember him being in anything in the 90s. I remember him like... You know, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, and, you know, The Hustler, all that kind of stuff.
Wasn't he dead in the 90s? Hasn't he always been dead?
Maybe. Well, no, maybe. His salad dressing was, like, definitely. Salad dressing was definitely active in the 90s. Maybe they just wanted a bottle of Paul Newman salad dressing to play the part of Red. I would have liked that. Robert Redford. Please.
Forget about it.
And that concludes the trivia round. Woo! Steve, I've had a great time talking about Redemption, Shawshank Prison. So what are what's your takeaway? Have you learned anything from me about why this isn't a completely flawless movie?
I have a newfound pity for you. Because I don't know if I've ever seen anyone so just unabashedly wrong and misinformed and just kind of hopeless. Hopeless. Did you get that?
I got hopeless. Yeah, very well. That's a nice closing line.
So I should stop talking.
Yeah, we're done now. Bye, everybody.